Hello, I'm Dr. Jason Isert, Associate Professor of Urology and Oncology at Queen's University and the Kingston Health Sciences Center. We attended the 2021 European Society of Medical Oncology annual meeting virtually from September 16th to September 21st of 2021. I'm here with Dr. Maria Jang, who is an assistant professor at the University of Toronto and medical oncologist at Princess Margaret, who's going to summarize the highlights of an interesting abstract presented at the meeting. Dr. Jang. Okay.
Great. Thank you so much, Jason, for the opportunity. So I'm just going to go ahead and share my screen. Okay. Is this visible on the screen? Perfect. Thank you. So thank you for the opportunity. And I'm going to just briefly summarize the data presented by Dr. Andrew Armstrong from Duke on the final overall survival analysis from ARCHES. As many of us will know, this is a phase three randomized double-blind placebo-controlled study of enzalutamide plus ADT in the setting of metastatic hormone-sensitive prostate cancer. So in terms of the study design, this is fairly similar to the other trials that we have seen in the setting. So basically patients with metastatic hormone sensitive disease across the disease spectrum as defined by conventional imaging, ECOG performance status 0 to 1 and ADT initiated within 3 months of randomization. And for this study, there were 1,150 patients randomized 1 to 1 to receive either enzalutamide 160 milligrams per day plus ADT versus placebo plus ADT. The primary endpoint of the study was RPFS. And as some of us may recall that the RPFS was beneficial at interim analysis. So after that, the trial was unblinded to allow patients in the placebo arm to cross over to the enzalutamide arm for those who haven't had disease progression. So at that time, about 31.9% of patients in the placebo arm, so about 184 patients, ended up crossing over at a median time of 21.5 months. After that, the trial continued, and we now are presenting the OS data that has come to light in ESMO 2021. So in terms of the baseline patient characteristics, we see that this trial enrolled patients with median age of 70. Patients had high disease volume in about 64% of patients. De novo disease represented about 65% of the patients enrolled. In this study, prior docetaxel was permitted as the trial began enrollment in 2016 after charted results came about. And so 18% of patients received ADT docetaxel prior to receiving enzalutamide. Median PSA was around 5. And here is the key slide for overall survival analysis in the intention to treat patient population. And this was after a median follow-up 44.6 months. And you can see that the curves start to separate at about a year and a half or so. And you see an overall survival benefit with a hazard ratio of 0.66, so with a significant p-value less than 0.001. The delta for the overall survival improvement seemed to increase with time. And at approximately 4 years, we're seeing overall survival rates improvement from 57% to 71%. And keep in mind that this is despite the fact that a significant proportion of patients in the placebo arm ended up crossing over, so suggesting that early initiation of treatment is of benefit. And going forward to the subgroup analysis of overall survival, we see that the overall survival benefit was seen mostly across important subset of patients, including patients with low or high volume of disease, patients who had prior therapy and patients with or without visceral metastasis, these and patients with visceral metastasis, the confidence interval did cross one. However, these are subgroup analyses which are largely exploratory. Dr. Armstrong also presented the data for subsequent therapy. And as you can see, enzalutamide significantly delayed the need for subsequent life-prolonging therapy. And we can also see that, approximately equal proportions in the ENZA and placebo arm received subsequent treatment. So the overall survival benefit was not contributed by differential receipt of subsequent treatment. In terms of treatment emergent adverse events, as we're aware of that enzalutamide is a fairly well tolerated agent in this setting, you can see that withdrawal rate was about 13.8% versus 5.6% in the placebo arm. We see a slight increase in certain adverse events of special interest that includes hypertension, includes some of the neurocognitive side effects, fatigue, falls, et cetera. Most of these were fairly low grade and, I think overall quite manageable. And we can see that, especially with fatigue, 30% of patients had all grade fatigue versus 20% in the placebo arm. But the vast majority of these patients had grade one or two fatigue and I think usually managed quite well with dose modification. So the conclusion is the is that enzalutamide plus ADT has a survival benefit over placebo plus ADT in this setting. And this really supports our current use of enzalutamide, and this builds on the previous data from Enzamet. But it's good to have, overall survival reproduced in this study in addition to RPFS. We saw that despite crossover, enzalutamide when used early seems to be of benefit. The safety and toxicity data still held up and there was no new signals, which is always reassuring. So overall, these findings really build on the previous data for enzalutamide and really supports the use of enzalutamide plus ADT in this patient population. And when we looked at, how the results from this study compares to other trials using novel hormonal agents in the setting, especially with Enzamet, Stampede, Titan, Latitude, and we see the hazard ratio 0.66 compares very similarly with the other studies. And enzalutamide is already being endorsed in several guidelines, including the Canadian guidelines for patients across the disease spectrum with metastatic castrate-sensitive prostate cancer. So just to close out, and I think that we've seen a lot of interesting developments at ESMO this year with, treatment of prostate cancer and this particular abstract really supports the use of enzalutamide. Of course, for patients with de novo high volume disease, and I think there's gonna be a lot of discussion with what will the standard of care be with the results of PEACE 1, and I think that was a practice changing study there. But outside of that patient subset, enzalutamide remains a standard of care option, especially for low volume and recurrent metastatic castrate-sensitive prostate cancer. And again, builds on the data that ADT alone is no longer the standard of care in this disease. Thank you. And that was my summary, and happy to take any questions.
Thanks for that excellent summary, Dr. Chang. I just have a few questions about the abstract. In ARCHES, we have another study which did show obviously improved overall survival using a second generation anti-androgen. However, the subgroup analysis from the study, similar to both Titan and Enzamet before it, did show that although it was empowered for this endpoint, the disease group with a visceral metastasis, the point estimate was sitting right around one, indicating potentially no benefit. Just wondering what your thoughts are in treating patients with visceral metastasis with second generation anti-androgen.
So, you know, with respect to visceral disease, you know, these patients represent a fairly small proportion of the studies we've seen in this phase. So for example, for ARCHES, these are only 11% of the overall patient population. So I don't think that there is any definitive conclusions can be drawn with the subgroup analysis from this trial or from the other trials. You know, certainly for, again, for de novo high volume disease with visceral metastasis, I think there's more of an argument to give docetaxel, especially with what we've seen with PIECE1. But outside of that, you know, I think that novel hormonal agent is still a standard of care in this setting. You know, certainly there is no robust data to say that these patients do not benefit from, you know, from these agents.
Well, that's actually a nice segue into my second question for you, which this study, which was obviously similar in many aspects to Enzymet with a few subtle differences. However, in Enzymet, the concurrent use of docetaxel, at least up to the publications that we have at this point, didn't make a difference in overall survival. In ARCHES, it wasn't statistically significant, but there certainly appeared to be a trend towards improved overall survival in that 18%, as you mentioned, that did receive docetaxel. Just wondering what your thoughts are with respect to both combinations of enzalutamide and docetaxel in the metastatic castrate-sensitive space. And if what your thoughts specifically are, if you are to do it, would you do it concurrently or would you do it in sequence?
Yeah, I would start by saying that we currently don't have level one evidence supporting the addition of enzalutamide with concurrent docetaxel in this space. You know, for the Enzymet study, we saw that there were RPFS benefit, but I think the OS data is still immature at this time. And, you know, again, with the subgroup analysis, it's hard to make any conclusive, definitive conclusions, I should say. There was also some interesting data from Enzymet suggesting perhaps combining enzalutamide enzalutamide with concurrent docetaxel may be slightly more toxic, you know, with the neurocognitive side effects, peripheral neuropathy, et cetera, and with, you know, compared to what we saw with PIECE1. So I think that if a patient is able to receive triplet therapy, the best evidence we have is with abiraterone at this time, if, you know, if we can get around access issues. But outside of that, the addition of enzalutamide to concurrent docetaxel is not yet supported by the current data, but, you know, that might come out later on as we see what's happening with Enzymet.
Thanks very much for that excellent summary and the answers to my questions.
Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely.